over time noticed increasing bear sightings and bear vehicle accidents, and a lot of these sightings included cubs. So it became evident that we had some reproduction going on, and so a couple years back I did a management plan, and part of that management plan, basically the cornerstone of that plan, is to figure out how many bears we have.
I guess part of this also is not how many we have, but how much they're reproducing, how long they're living, what their general condition is. Is that part of it?
Yeah, what we'd like to do is be able to forecast bear population growth. And for example, we need to know things like how long do they live, how many cubs do they have, how many females versus males are in the population, when do they first breed, how long do the cubs live. You know, bears aren't like a lot of other animals. Females don't breed until they're at least three. And then they don't have a cub. They don't have offspring every year. It's an every other year event at best. So they don't. Their populations don't increase rapidly like a lot of other animals.
Is that why it's taken a number of years to bring about enough bears in the state of Missouri that people actually start seeing them in any numbers or noticing them?
Yeah, that's part of it. They have slow reproduction and slow growth, and they're also very secretive animals. I mean, you know, bears are in the woods. When they see someone or hear someone or smell someone, they usually take off. They're not going to hang out. And so you don't see a lot of sightings unless maybe people see them when they're crossing a road or something. So I think we've known we've had bears for a while. We just didn't know if we had females and how many of those females were actually reproducing. So that's kind of what we're trying to find out.
Have you been able to identify about what the bear range is in Missouri? How far north have they come?
Yeah, you know, based on sightings, we've had bear reports in more counties than we haven't. And we've had bear sightings all the way up into Atchison County. But those are rare events, and what happens is you get a young male, and he takes off when he's age two, and he's looking for food and romance, and that's these animals that get in these odd places. The stable, healthy bears that we have are generally south of Interstate 44, and they're generally in the areas where we have a lot of national forest.
Well, how hard is it to track these guys?
It's a lot easier than it used to be. We catch a bear and we can put a collar on it. Nowadays, that collar has a GPS on it, or a global positioning system. So I can sit here at my computer, plug in a certain frequency, and say, "Oh, look at that bear! We caught him on this ridge today, and now he's 20 miles over here. I wonder what he's doing there." And then tomorrow, I can see where he is just by looking at dots on a map. Used to have to go out and actually listen for the bear and kind of home in on them, but now it's all been computerized, and we get accurate information, and it's up to the date and at our computer screen.
How many bears have you been able to tag so far with these devices?
So far we have 10 bears with radios. We've caught 18, but we're a little bit selective about which bears we put collars on. We don't want to put them on young bears that might grow too much and have the collar get tight, and we don't want to put them on young male bears that may take off somewhere and not give us meaningful information. We're looking for adult bears that are going to give us a solid range, home range, so we can say, "Oh, look, adult males have a home range of 50 square miles, and adult females have a home range of 15. And those are just examples, but that may be something like what we'll find out.
How will you use these? Are these devices useful in terms of breeding and reproducing?
Well, you know, in the wintertime when bears den up, we can find their dens for the females, and then we can go in there and either count the cubs that she has or put a remote camera at the den entrance so that when she leaves, we can count how many cubs that she's had. And as we talked earlier, we'd like to be able to make some kind of a population model so we can forecast how many bears we'll have 10 years from now, 20 years from now, or just 5 years from now. The pieces of those puzzles include how many cubs bears have each year.
When do bears normally have cubs?
typically they breed in June, but they have a delayed implantation. In other words, they have a blastocyst and that implant sometime in late November or December. Then they'll have their cubs in very early January. The mother is asleep when she has her cubs, and they're born and they crawl out and attach to a teat with her not even really being aware. They're only 8 ounces when they're born. Very fragile.
Well, I wondered about that because when you were talking a minute ago, I thought, my goodness, does this happen while they're hibernating? And the answer is yes, it does.
Yeah, it does, yep.
Wow, okay.
And then those cubs will stay with the mother for the first year, and they'll den with her that subsequent fall. And then the following summer, male bears kind of take off for their own, and female bears will set up a home range right near their mother. So you tend to have related animals all around the mother.
You're using DNA analysis. How are you getting DNA?
This summer is kind of phase two. This coming summer of 2011 is kind of phase two of our study, and we'll put what's called a hair snare. Actually, we'll put about 750 of these hair snares out in the woods. So if you would just picture three trees of 6 or 8 feet apart, we string some barbed wire about 20 inches off the ground, put some donuts in the middle or something a bear likes to eat. They come by, crawl underneath that wire to get those donuts, and then they leave some hair on that wire. From that hair, we can determine that bear is an individual. We can determine the sex of that animal and perhaps even the age. So if we do this all through bear range, we're going to come up with a population estimate.
How long is this study going to last, Jeff?
It's going to last about 4 years from start to finish. It's a big effort, and we're doing half of our bear range first, and then we'll move to southeast Missouri and do the other half. Right now we're in southwest Missouri.
Do you anticipate a day anytime in the near future when we might have a bear season in Missouri for hunters?
Yeah, I do. I mean, we're going to manage black bears like any other big game species, and our intent is to grow that population in suitable habitat, but at the same time, we want to manage that population so they're not getting into trouble with the landowners in the area, not getting killed on roads at real high proportions, and giving people an opportunity to bear hunt, which, you know, that all that stuff's pretty new to Missourians, but it's pretty cool too.
And these are all black bears? Are those the only kinds of bears that you're going to be chasing here in this program?
Yeah, we have eastern black bears, although the coloration is a variable. We caught one the other day that was a total cinnamon, and we have a lot of bears in the state that have different amounts of black and brown, so we have a little bit of a western coloration to some of our bears.
How dangerous are these critters? How big do they get to be?
Well, they get pretty big. We've caught one that was 450 pounds. I don't consider bears to be dangerous. I put them in a category with any other kind of wildlife. You just treat them with respect. Use common sense. You're not going to have trouble with bears. You know, that goes with bobcats, raccoons, deer, anything else. Just use your head, be smart. If you encounter a bear, get big, make it a negative experience for that animal so that he runs away. And that's the safest thing you can do for you and for the bear, because folks that feed a bear because they want to see him around longer, that's kind of a death sentence, because all of a sudden that bear decides, oh, I can go get food around people. Pretty soon he's getting in trouble and we have to euthanize him.
I imagine there have been other studies of bears like this in the past that give you some basic information, like how long they live, and you mentioned when they breed and some things like that. But I guess this study also will indicate how typical of those other bears our bears are, and are whether there are differences in their lifestyles and their habits once they get into Missouri.
Yeah, you know, in some of the previous studies show that in some areas bears don't breed for the first time until they're 7. In other areas, bears breed at age 3, and they may have 3 cubs. So we got to figure out where we are in that spectrum so we know how fast our population may grow. And this DNA analysis is a relatively new thing, and this will actually be the biggest population estimate for bears ever done. So we're kind of jumping on something big, but the scientific knowledge has increased so much these days that we can do things that we never dreamt we could do just 5 or 10 years ago.
Will this give you any information about habitat? I mean, we're going to learn about the bears. Are there spinoffs here and things that you can learn about where they live and the conditions under which they live?
Yeah, you know, these new collars that we have are going to give us one location every 25 hours, and that location is accurate to within a couple yards. In the summertime, during their breeding season, we're going to be getting 50 locations per day, so we can really track their movements. And what we'll learn from this is, for one, you know, how bears use the habitat. Where do they cross roads? Do they go in culverts? You know, what do they seem to like? So we can manage that habitat in favor of bears on some of our public lands. And then we'll learn a little bit about their movements and, you know, what seems to be important to bears.
Do you, off the top of your head, I guess this also would tell you what their survival rate is for their cubs and things like that, the infant mortality rate, if you will.
Yeah, that's true. And we'll be able to get quite a bit of that information through hair snares, because we'll know who is related to who. And then if we do it at a later date, we'll be able to say, oh, look, this one is still alive. We got a DNA from bear number 29 or whatever. So just some of our subsequent DNA work, we'll be able to look at this whole big picture and say, oh, yeah, this bear bred with that sow, and here's their offspring, and you kind of get a family tree that you can make from all this DNA work.
Will this help you understand how they interact with other wildlife?
Well, I'd say to a lesser degree we'll see that kind of information, because the other wildlife won't be marked in any way. But I think we'll learn a lot about how they use the landscape, and especially from a seasonal perspective. Right now, it looks like they're in the oaks eating acorns and persimmons. And I've just done some preliminary investigations of our locations, but that's kind of what I'm seeing.
They're not going out to kill a deer or something like that?
No, you know, they're omnivores. They might kill a deer in the spring when it's a fawn and it's an infant. But most of the time they eat insects, they eat a lot of grass, they browse in the spring, and then they eat a lot of fruits and nuts and that sort of thing. So they're more like an omnivore, like a raccoon.
Okay. Well, it'll be interesting to see in another 4 years or so all the stuff that you learned from these folks and where we're going to go.
Yeah, it's to me, having bears in the state makes it a better state. I mean, it's like, wow, this happened on its own. This is our largest carnivore, and all you ever hear about is animals going extinct and being extirpated, and now we have our largest carnivore, and it's making a comeback. That's pretty cool.
Are they coming back up out of Arkansas? Is that where they've been?
Well, obviously some of the bears are coming from Arkansas, but it does look like, you know, early on it looks like maybe we have a few bears that were never extirpated. And we may have some of that those bears just hid out, and slowly their population has grown. I think after a year of our DNA work, we'll be able to say with more certainty, but the early evidence looks like we might have some resident bears that never left.